to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
God, I want to welcome every person to the podcast today. I'm going to go ahead and open up with prayer. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God rest upon President Trump, all his cabinet members and advisors. I pray the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon the Senate, the House, all law enforcement, local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies, the judges and the courts of land. Protect everyone, Father. Lead them by your Spirit to do your will. All right, let's go ahead and start with today's message. You know, there are two definitions of righteousness that I can see in the Word of God and two definitions of sin. Let's first look at the definitions of righteousness. Turn to Romans chapter 10, because it talks about the righteousness of the law and the righteousness of faith. Verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, Paul is writing that these Jews were ignorant about the righteousness of God, which we'll see is the righteousness of faith. And these Jews wouldn't submit to it. We'll see that, and we'll see that as we read on. And they wanted to establish their own righteousness. And we're going to see in the verses that is trying to keep the law. Trying to keep the law of Moses is self-righteousness. That's you doing it. All right? And, well, let's go to verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Let's read that in the Amplified Bible. For Christ is the end of the law. It leads to him, and his purpose is fulfilled in him, for granting righteousness to everyone who believes in him as Savior. New Life Version, verse 4. For Christ has put an end to the law, so everyone who has put his trust in Christ is made right with God. Now think about that for a minute. Once Christ came, people are no longer righteous by keeping the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now, the law of Moses is still in effect for the lawbreakers, the sinners, the ungodly people. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 1:9. We'll read that. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. See, Christ ended it for the righteous. The righteous are those that believe. So the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, people that kidnap people, for liars, for perjurers, persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, there's Christians who don't have much problem with sin as far as violating the Ten Commandments. You know, like they're faithful to their spouse, they're honest, they don't run around lying, they don't have a drug or drinking problem, they're kind to the neighbor, and that's all good, but they have little faith when it comes to ministering the Spirit or praying for a sick person, and seeing them get healed. And God wants his people to walk like Jesus walked in faith and power. See? So we're gonna look at the righteousness of faith. John 14:12, New International Version. Verily, truly, I tell you, whosoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing. Whosoever believes in me, not just ministers, not just apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. Whosoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. All right? So many people have walked in the righteousness of the law, and they stop there. They don't go about, all they do is, as far as faith, is get saved, and that's just the initial getting saved. Now, if you've been listening any time and you've got sins in your life and you're using your faith, thank God, you should be, to overcome your sins. But as you overcome your sins, then God wants you to minister to other people. See, God wants you to walk in the righteous faith and show forth his power. So you may not have problems with some sins, yet you need to overcome the sin of unbelief. And like I said, you know, people say, well, I haven't been called to ministry. I don't do those works. Turn to Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So, you heard the gospel. Those of you out there that have initially started salvation, you believe the gospel, you got baptized in water, and you started your salvation. Now read the next verse. These signs shall follow them that believe. Is this talking about ministers only? This is talking about people that heard the gospel and believed it. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, it didn't say these signs shall follow them that are called into the ministry, but every believer. And you can go up to some people, you can tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and encourage them to believe on him and be saved. And that's great. But how much stronger of a witness are you if they're oppressed of the devil and you pray for them and they get better? Then they know this is real. You minister to them the word of God by the Spirit, and faith goes into their heart and they go, oh my God. And then they believe and get saved. All right? See, God wants you to go past just believing to get saved yourself, but get the faith of God working in you and walk in the righteousness of faith. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Remember, he said, the works I do shall ye do. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. This is during the tribulation, for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. Okay? All right? That's what makes you a great witness, is when you have the Spirit working in you and the power working in you. And that's what every Christian should be pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, pressing towards the mark of walking like Jesus walked. Matthew 8:24, let's look at that. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch his ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. The disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. He said on them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and sea. There was a great calm. All right? So there's Christians who walk in somewhat of the righteousness of the law. They're not bound of all these sins, but they don't walk very well in the righteousness of faith. And the righteousness of faith is the righteousness of God. All right? The righteousness of the law is not the righteousness of God. It's the righteousness of faith that is God's righteousness. Righteousness of the law is your righteousness. Oh, you're doing God's law, but it's you doing it. When you get into the righteousness of faith, God will be working through you. And the righteousness of the law is self-righteousness. So, let me tell you this, you need to be justified so you can walk by faith. Back to Romans 10, verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness is your faith, speak upon this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall ascend the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the deep? But what saith, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And we'll see in the next verse that the word of faith is the gospel. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, this is going to make some of y'all get off your couch and learn to pray. Learn to read the word of God. Learn to stir up your faith. See, because, only God knows how many of you out there have been using your faith and have gone beyond just for yourself. See, you, you, you want to use your faith to overcome your sins, but then you want to go on and use your faith to minister to others. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made on salvation. See, and we know that believing is believing on the Lord Jesus, that he was raised from the dead. And by believing the gospel, you get into the righteousness of faith. All right? And when you get in the righteousness of faith, you begin to confess that gospel and you get more salvation. See? Okay, now let's look at the two definitions of sin. 1 John 3:4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. This is the law of Moses. For sin is the transgression of the law. Okay? There's the first definition of sin. You transgress the law of Moses. Romans 14:1. Him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. Go to verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, do you see how that lines up with righteousness? The righteousness of the law is keeping the law. And one of the definitions of sin is transgressing the law. Well, the righteousness of faith is walking in faith. And if you're not in faith, you're in sin. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. This is not a one-time getting in faith. This is walking in faith. Okay? This is living by faith. Let's look at that. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. See? Live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law and the sight of God, for the just shall live by faith. All right? Now, I always want to make a way. I never want to tell people about sin, but without showing them where God will meet you where you're at, so you don't have to be guilty. Because if you get guilty, your faith won't work. All right? So, and God meets you where you're at. Turn to Luke 15:11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the young of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall up to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent unto him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Now remember, this is a parable about a person that's got away from God. They got into all these sins, and they're coming to God. So when he's a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. See, God has compassion on you. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father comes and does it? Yeah. And the son said to the father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. This my son was dead. See, he was spiritually dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. See, there's a parable of when we go off into sin, we're dead. Then when we come back to God, we're alive again. We were lost, and now we're found. So, when you first receive the Lord or you turn back to him, he will put a robe on you. And that robe is a robe of righteousness. And that's how God sees you, as righteous, even though you have unrighteousness in you. Then he will change you on the inside as you yield to him and believe him. And he'll take you as far as he can. Some people will bear fruit 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Some people will get set free from this, this, and this. Some people get totally set free. Go with God as far as you can. Walk with the Lord. You'll be with Him forever. But you see, He puts a robe of righteousness on you. So the righteousness of faith is living by faith. And whatsoever is not faith is sin. So, but if you just walk with the Lord, He'll put a robe of righteousness on you, and He'll see you as righteous while He's setting you free from all your unbelief, from all your doubt, and you don't have to be condemned, but you have to walk in the Word of God. You have to make an effort to believe. All right? Isaiah 61, verse 10. And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He have clothed me with the garments of salvation. He have covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth himself with jewels. Okay? Gives you, He clothes you with the garments of salvation, covers you with the robes of righteousness. Okay? And as you look at the next verse, you'll see righteousness grows up in your heart as you abide in Him. Verse 11, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, or our heart bringeth forth the righteousness of God. And as the garden causes the things that are sown to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. See? We're unrighteous. He puts the robe of righteousness on. Then He's working in our heart as we walk with Him and believe on Him. And then He's bringing forth the righteousness of faith in our heart. Okay? So, don't resist this. Yeah, you're going to have to labor more. You know, some of you have received the Lord and you're in your little comfort zone and you say, well, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have a problem with sin, you know. And so when you heard me speaking, you said, well, I'm not bound up. So you just kind of coasted along. Well, you need to believe. You need to believe. You need to take the whole Word of God. This should open your eyes to see about you too need to work out your salvation. See, people that just didn't have much problem with violating the Ten Commandments, they think, oh, well, I'm okay. So they didn't really pay attention when I said work out your salvation. They didn't pay attention when I said use your faith. Now this will start to make you say, oh, I need to go on. Okay. James 2:14. For what does it profit, my brother? Though a man say he have faith, have not works. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is being naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, be warm, filled, notwithstanding, give them not those things which are needful of the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man shall say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Yea, show me thy faith without the word. I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, helping needy people is one way to show our faith. But don't stop there. God wants you to be fruitful in all things. God wants us to walk in the power of God. All right? And God's power is glorious. That's what makes a Christian life so good. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break here. Let's do Never Would Have Made It by Pamela Pontiff.
I would have lost it all, and now I see how you were there for me. I can say, never would have made it, no, 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 never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, and now I see how you were there. For me, I can say, never would have made it, oh no, no, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, and now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say never would have made it. Oh no, no, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, and now I can see how you were there for me, and I can say
I'm stronger.
I would have lost it all, and now I see how you were there for me. I can say never would have made it. Oh no, no, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, and now I can see how you were there for me, and I can say
now, don't be satisfied with just overcoming the works of the flesh. You know, go on with God. Let him work his power through you. If anyone got around Jesus that was sick, they got healed. You know, Christ means anointed one. And we as Christians, we're called Christians. We're supposed to be anointed ones. Okay? So when we talk, the Spirit is on our speech. And we're anointed. We're walking around with that anointing working us. And people, when they talk to us and when they see us, they'll see Christ in our life. You know, not just you act kind. That's good and well, but people in false religions do that. We need to have the Spirit working in us and through us. Turn to Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching the synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. You know, there are Christians that they don't have, like I said before, they don't have a lot of trouble with sin, transgression, almost, but they have trouble living in faith. And whatsoever not faith is sin. See, that was the second definition of sin. And let me tell you something. When you start endeavoring to get the Spirit of God working in you and walk by faith and believe God to do things for you and through you, then you got a battle on your hands. See? Now, the devil wants to bind you up with sins and where you can't, you know, where, you know, fornication, drunkenness, all these different works of flesh. But if he can't stop you from overcoming there, he sure doesn't want you to go on and minister the power of God. So when we overcome those sins, all our sins, we're going to inherit the kingdom of God. And let me tell you this about the battle. The devil doesn't want you to even know he exists. He wants to bind you up, and you can't even tell it's a spirit binding you up. You pray, and there's just, you feel dead inside. There's no faith. You feel no faith, no confidence in you. And a lot of, well, part of that is just the sin in you is the dead feeling that needs to come out. And it's also principalities and powers binding you up. But as you stir up your faith and in prayer and you start praying fervently, you'll engage the devil. And then you begin to wrestle with him. And then as you overcome him, the Spirit will be working through you more and more. And it's tough to do this. It's not always fun either. And I personally do not believe a Christian has moved in the Spirit very much if they haven't engaged the devil and had him oppose them. I've been having the devil oppose me for over 40 years. And he knew what kind of heart I had. He knew that I was going to go after this. Okay, turn to 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Okay, you know, there are sins that we commit, and there's sins of omission. Sins that we're just not doing what God wants to do. We're not walking in the righteousness of faith. Look at verse 5. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we're in him. Okay? So if you're not keeping his word, that's a sin of omission. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Okay? You abide in Christ, you're to walk like him. You're to do the works he did. We read that earlier. The works that I do shall you do, and greater works. That's more of them. That's because he's only here 3.5 years. All right? See, Jesus walked in the love of God and the faith of God, and he is our example. He cast out devils. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. See, the righteous law was to do what was written in the law of Moses, but the righteous faith is to walk by faith, do the works of Jesus. You say, I don't do this, you know, and I can't do this. Yes, you can. You just have to be transformed to walk this way. And, you know, you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. And if you'll believe and do miracles, but see, unbelief, you may be so stooped in religious tradition that unbelief and your intellect get in the way and you have trouble walking this way. So you got to overcome unbelief. And like I said, you have to be transformed. You have to overcome. Turn to Matthew 4:1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Okay. You notice he was led into the wilderness. And during the time of temptation, there's an adjustment going on in your soul. There's a purification going on in your soul. Sin in you is what's allowing the devil to bind you up where it's hard to walk in the righteousness of faith. And Jesus had sin in him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been tempted. And you know why I know Jesus had sin in him? Because he's the seed of Abraham. And that sin nature was passed down to him. And he had to have it purged out of him. And part of that purging process is going through the fire trial. Look at James 1:14. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See? Now, for those of you who have not known the way of righteousness, You know about the righteous faith. As you get to know about the righteous faith and you've tried and tried to walk by faith and do the works, yet you've had little power in your life. Let me encourage you with this. There's coming a time when the body of Christ will live by faith and the Lord Jesus Christ will do the works. You'll live by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and do the works he did. Okay? Let me say that again. For those of you that have struggled, you've been taught, you know that you're supposed to believe this. You know you're supposed to walk in the righteous faith. You know you're supposed to do the works as Jesus did. Yet you've tried and tried, and very little power has worked in your life. There is coming a time when we're going to walk this way. Keep going. Turn to Habakkuk 2:2. I'm going to show you this, International Standard Version. When he answered, the Lord told me, write the revelation, engraving it clearly on the tables. Tablets, so that the carrier may run with it. For the revelation pertains to an appointed time. It speaks truthfully about the end. Though it delays, wait for it, because it'll surely come. about, and it will not be late. Verse 4, notice their arrogance. They have no inward uprightness, but the righteous will live by their faith. The revelation of living by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ is for an appointed time. In the King James Version, it says, live by his faith. Let's read that. Habakkuk 2, 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, this is verse 4, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. His soul was not upright. That's why he had to go into the wilderness and be led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. See, if he didn't have sin in him, it would have been no temptation. You can only tempt people by the lust that's in their heart. So Jesus was led out there. He had that in him. He just never yielded to it. And he got his soul purified. And then he began to move in power. And it says we're to live by his faith. Go to Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteous God revealed from faith to faith. Is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law on the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Okay? Not just get in faith, live by faith. And you notice it's the just lives by faith. As your heart is straightened out, you're made the righteous of God. You'll be able to live by faith all the time. Why? Because as your heart is justified, made right, that'll be your nature. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All right? See, you're in sin if you're not walking in the righteousness of faith. But if you go to God and you'll acknowledge that and say, okay, I've got to walk in the righteousness of faith, then and you come to the Lord, you start acknowledging, he puts a robe of righteousness on you. He'll look at you as righteous while he's straightening out your heart as you walk with him so you can walk in the righteousness of faith. So you don't have to be condemned no matter where you're at. But you have to abide in Christ. See, and he said, he that abideth in me shall walk even as I walk. So if you're truly abiding in Christ, changes will be taking place. Okay, now let's read Habakkuk 2:3 in the New Living Translation. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end. And it will be fulfilled. It seems slow in coming. Wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Now, we don't just sit around waiting for the Lord to do this. We are to be actively believing the gospel. Putting to death the old man. I've talked a lot about that. Getting the new man formed in us. I've talked about that. As our hearts are made right, we'll be able to live by faith. See, it's the just who live by faith. You know, the prophet Habakkuk revealed that the revelation of the just living by faith of the Son of God will be fulfilled in the end. See, it's coming in the end times. Romans 4:13, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So you're not going to get the blessings through the righteousness of the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made in that effect. Galatians 3:8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Preached before, and it should have a comma there. What did he preach? The gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. See, there should have been a comma after preached before. It's not saying God preached before the gospel came, or was performed, or that God, but that God preached to Abraham that Jesus came on the scene, that Jesus came and died and was raised again. See, what this is saying is God preached the gospel to Abraham. He preached the death, burial, and resurrection to Abraham. And he said, now through you, all nations are going to be blessed. And you know what? Abraham believed it. See, that's how God... what God did with Abraham was so significant. Okay, turn to John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. See, God preached the gospel to Abraham, and he saw Jesus coming to die for us and being raised again. He saw in his heart, it was revealed to him. Then saith the Jews on him, thou art not yet 50 years old, talking to Jesus. And hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said in bread of it, I send you, before Abraham was, I am. You want to know why the Jews crucified Jesus? Well, you know, of course they hated him because he testified that their deeds were evil. But Jesus kept telling them he was God. Turn to Mark 14:60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, and he said to him, art thou the Christ, Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, said, what need we of further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What thinking that all condemned him to be guilty of death? And the scripture foreseeing, okay, back to that in Galatians. Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Okay? So, those Jews, they crucified Jesus because he was saying who he was. But anyway, the point I want to get to you was God preached the gospel to Abraham. All right? And God's foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach forth the gospel, and say, these shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Those that live in the righteousness of faith. Okay? So after every person who receives the Lord, they need to use, you know, they use their faith to overcome their sin. Then they need to continue on in the faith and let God use them in whatever way he wants to minister out to others. We saw as you become a new creature in Christ, you have the ministry of reconciliation. See? And, you know, this may start off small, and it will. And you start getting faith working in you, and you can be used to give a word of encouragement to someone by the Spirit. And then your faith will grow, and you can pray for someone. Sometimes you will pray for someone in secret, and they'll get saved or healed or overcome something. And as your faith is perfected, God will use you more. Take it one step at a time. Let the Lord develop your faith and use you to minister to others. See, you may not run a church. You may not have a podcast. You may not have Bible studies. But every Christian walks in the righteousness, or is supposed to walk in the righteousness of faith. Okay? And so that's the two definitions, the righteousness of the law and the righteousness of faith. And we don't live by the law. We live by faith, then we overcome those sins, and then we go on in faith and minister out to others. And we're not committing the sins of the flesh, not committing sins in our life. And we're not committing sins of walking in doubt and unbelief. So I pray, Father, for everyone out there that you open up their eyes so they have, and their ears, give them ears to hear. They can see and understand what I've been speaking about today. So they can continue in the faith and be established in the faith. And be used by God to reach out to others. You know, it says we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. You know, God wants you where you learn to pray and live in faith. And say you have family members over for dinner or something. And you got a family member and then they come and bring some bad news that they're sick. And you say, can I pray for you? And you pray for them and they get healed. This is the way we're supposed to walk, folks. Or your kids are sick and you go pray for them. Maybe you start off small and just pray and set them free from a headache or a stomach ache. I've done that. I used to have my kids wake me up and they say, Dad, my stomach hurts. Or I've had this happen. Or I'm afraid I can't sleep. And I'd pray for them. I'd say, are you okay now? Yeah, I feel much better. They go back to sleep. Don't be a weak Christian. Don't be a person that can't do anything. Go beyond just your own needs. All right? We are, God is wanting to make us all members of the body of Christ so we can be the Lord's hands in the earth. We can be the Lord's mouthpiece in the earth so His power will flow through His body and help other people. We've got to get out of this selfishness of just caring about ourselves. Me, myself, and I. You know, thank God that you give to the ministry so the gospel can be preached. Thank God you give to charities to help poor people. Okay? But go on with God and get your faith perfected. And if all you can do is small things at first, great. Do what you can and let God develop your faith. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And as our faith is perfected, our righteousness will be perfected. Okay? We'll be a more fruitful Christian. See? The world is looking for the sons of God to manifest. They need people walking in the Spirit of God and the power of God. You know, when you walk up and speak to someone and you're in the Spirit, you can open their eyes. Their eyes will open up. Not you doing it, but the Spirit. You know, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind." There are people you can talk to. They don't hear what you're saying. They don't believe anything. But you speak by the Spirit and their eyes will be open. They'll go, "Oh." And they'll go, "I see that." And or you can sit down. I did this many years ago. I'd sit down and talk to people. Spirit of the Lord was upon me. And it would heal their broken heart. I've come up to people and I could discern the devil was oppressing them. And I just start praying. I said, "I break the oppression of the devil off them." And I knew that spirit lifted off them. Had this happen more than once. And they said, "Man, all that oppression left me." I said, "Well, absolutely." See, I haven't been happy with all the results I've gotten. I want bigger and better results. But you know what? I'm not condemned anymore. And I'm going to keep pressing towards the kingdom of God. But folks, this is real. And this can work through anybody. If it's not working through you yet, then keep hearing the gospel. Keep on reading the word and expect God to work His power through you and to work His Spirit through you. All right? So don't be a selfish person. Start caring about other people. Start wanting to develop to let God develop your faith so you can be a blessing to others, so that you can speak in faith, speak the word of God in faith to others. You can encourage others. You can be more fruitful. All right? That's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.